Welcome back to the first time, the Pearl. Oh, wait, it's not that anymore. It's Too Many Tabs.
Woo!
That's right. It's season two of our show.
But which it's season one of our new show.
Too Many Tabs, which
it's the same show.
It's the same show. It's still the same show that we said for all of last season, which was a husband and wife who sit across from each other and lovingly lord dump while you listen inside your ears. However, we thought the name Too Many Tabs is a better representation of what this show really is.
What's actually happening.
Which is what happens to so many of us who have ADHD as we sit on the internet and go, what's that? And we click on that. But we don't want to lose where we were.
No.
So what do?
Open in another tab.
We right click and we hit open a new tab. Mm-hmm. And every time we open a new tabs, we slowly, after a very long period of time, when we finally reach what we've finally wanted to in our destination of our lore hunts, look up and realize we have 37 tabs open.
Yeah.
We started at Adam West Batman, and somehow, once again, we've ended at Jolo.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.
That's right. It's a new season. It's a new name. It's new images.
New song.
New song. That was by His Name Is Dusk. We've been working on that. I've been telling you. We've been working on a secret project that whole time we've been running the Vault episodes. And this episode right here is live.
Fresh.
This is right
new.
Off. We're recording this
sushi.
Here in March.
Yeah, baby.
2024. The last year that ever existed. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We're having a great time.
Listen, it's all over in November. But
listen,
anyway.
We have to do a call to action.
We do have to do a call to action. That's a thing that we're going to try to do better on Too Many Tabs.
We're going
to
try.
Pearlmania 500.
No promises.
They weren't good at anything over there, right? All they told people was to join the Patreon, maybe listen again. No. This show, we got a new computer.
Uh-huh.
It's better.
We do have a new computer.
We have a new computer. I set it up.
Did you?
I did. I set it up yesterday.
I thought professionals put that thing
together.
Well,
professionals put the whole thing to professionals, your brother. and then I had to take it back to the shop because we got a part wrong. Mm-hmm. A whole thing. But I'm saying yesterday, I got the...
I watched you. It was very impressive.
Yesterday, I put my passwords in.
Good job.
Yay. And so today, we're recording on that computer.
Yep.
And now we are going to ask the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, please... Please review us on iTunes and Spotify.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Smash that bell notification. All those different things. You guys know the things that every YouTuber, every podcaster ever asks you to do. Go down the list of them. We're asking you to just pick one of them.
Yeah, the only thing we're not going to ask that everybody else is to enjoy BetterHelp. We're never going to ask you that.
No, we're never going to ask you. And in fact, BetterHelp has asked us to never talk about them again. So, but. What we will tell you guys is, as you probably heard on prior episodes, our Patreon shout-outs from the people who sign up on patreon.com/Pearlmania500. Haven't changed that name. Or you can go to pearlmania500.net to join the Patreon. We're moving those shout-outs to the end of the episode because the big difference with Too Many Tabs versus Pearlmania 500, do you know what that is, Mrs. P?
No.
Shorter intros.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be the biggest thing. We're trying to cut the front.
Yeah, okay.
We're trying to cut the front and we're getting...
Get right into the meat.
We're into the meat and the potatoes, you know?
Oh, my goodness. I love a potato.
I know. But see, the old show was just mozzarella sticks.
It was not mozzarella.
It was like 30 minutes of mozzarella sticks.
Anything,
and then by the time people
if
got...
If anything, it was like a sampler platter with the onion rings, the mozzarella sticks.
I'm talking about Ruby Tuesday sampler
platter.
Yeah, I'm
talking about
the best sampler platter there's ever been.
Yeah.
Do you see how you're already stretching this intro?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because, again, your brain has too many tabs open
right now. At all times.
I want you to right-click.
Uh-huh.
Close all tabs.
I can't. I literally have them open in front of me because I'm going to do an episode of Too Many Tabs.
That's true, because you've been researching for quite some time on this topic. We are going to go hit our first new tab. That's what we're calling the bumpers now.
Oh.
Instead of page turns.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to open a new tab here, and then you're going to start telling us about...
Patrick Nagel.
Ooh, who's that?
You'll find out.
Oh.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
We're back.
We're back. New tab is open.
There's a lot of tabs open, I'm going to be honest.
Okay, but that just means that's the name of the section.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Remember? We just went over this.
I do not have a brain. Okay. It is made of scrambled eggs.
And babies.
And, yep. No, the baby ruined my brain.
Yep.
First, took all my bones.
Yep.
And then ruined my brain.
And don't forget, there was also that whole COVID thing.
Yeah, panorama.
Yep.
That ruined my brain.
Yep.
So right now, I'm just scrambling.
Don't forget time.
Time. I forgot about time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're both 40, so that
what?
Hurts.
Gross.
I know.
Anyway, I have a really fun episode today.
A fun episode?
Yeah. Okay, so a while back,
yeah,
we were talking about getting new art for our bedroom.
Yes.
Right? And people have seen in your TikToks, we have a lot of art on the walls. We both love really cool, fun art.
We have a lot of art on the walls, except in our bedroom, weirdly.
Yeah, well, on your side.
On my side. You have now have stuff on your side. My side. I have a weird thing with bedroom art.
Yeah.
Because I'm always terrified of what... I don't want to open my eyes and look at the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Which is ironic, because every day I open my eyes, grab my phone, and then just scroll trauma porn, basically. Because I'm just like, the world is on fire!
Yeah.
And you're like, you haven't even had coffee.
Put your phone down. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
So we were talking about getting some art for the bedroom, and we were talking about getting a picture of like a crane or something very like a crane or a herring, thing like that.
Yeah.
We're talking about that, but we're both like trying to describe to each other this like specific artistic style that we were thinking of.
Yep.
And we were like, it's like the 80s and it's like very linear, but we couldn't like...
Miami cocaine.
Yeah, like that's literally, we're like, yeah, it's like Miami cocaine,
yeah,
but not vaporwave.
But not vaporwave. So, there was like a certain way.
And we're trying to figure it out. And then we're doing all this research. We got so many tabs open on our phones and iPads.
So many.
I was trying to figure out this, like what we're trying to find the word for it.
I was 4 pages deep in that weird thing where you're like, this is an Etsy store, but it's clearly a reprint store that also drop ships from Amazon.
Yep.
And I was like so mad because I was like, this isn't $500 worth of art.
No.
And I'm like, this is clearly just like a Google image that you're reprinting and then putting into a plastic frame.
So I found, during all of that research, I found the name of the artist we were trying to think of.
Okay.
His name is Patrick Nagel.
Okay.
Okay. He's actually incredibly popular, or he was. He is of a different time.
What time is that?
The 80s.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
And so what happened was while I was looking for Patrick Nagel art, I fell down a lore hole.
Oh, Patrick Nagel?
Yeah. Big time.
What is his art?
Okay, so Patrick Nagel art is when you think of like a hair salon, that 80s image where it's like a very white person with black hair in like a high cut fade. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, hold on. Let me Google him real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to pull him up on the Googles.
Yep, hurry up.
Go image.google.
Patrick Nagel.
.com. And then I'm going to type in Nagel.
Yep.
Nagel art.
Yep.
There we go. And then,
boom.
Oh, this guy.
Yep.
Oh, so my older cousins, like, this was them.
Yeah.
This was their whole aesthetic.
The vibe.
In the late 80s, early 90s, everything was this. The very bright red lipstick, the black hair.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the nose is just nostrils is the best way to describe it. Is there's like almost no bridge to the nose.
Yeah.
But if you type in Nagle, N-A-G-L-E, you'll see this and you'll be like, oh, that guy.
Yeah. So Patrick Nagle, I then fell down, and I just now I need to tell you all the things I learned about him.
Sure.
Okay, number one, this is called glamour art.
This is glamour art?
Glamour art.
I mean, it is glamorous.
It's pop art, but it's defined as glamour art. And so Patrick Nagle was born in Dayton, Ohio in 1945.
How glamorous.
Glamorous. But he was raised and spent most of his life in Los Angeles.
Oh, so okay.
The vibes are very different than Dayton, Ohio and L.A.
Born in Dayton. Born in Dayton, bred in Los Angeles.
He served in the United States Army and in the 101st Airborne in Vietnam.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
So...
Okay.
Well, we need to know backstory.
No, I know. But like now there's some tragedy mixed in with this
so
lady.
He goes and he serves in Vietnam. And when he comes back, he starts working as a graphic designer in the 70s, like 1971, for ABC Television, and produces the graphics and promotions that happen in between broadcasts and like kind of the little images you would see in like the bottom corner, right? Like, so he's doing that type of graphic design.
So the runner at the bottom, that's like, stay tuned, next it's gummy bears.
Exactly.
Like that type of stuff.
Very that. So he starts working as a freelance artist during the same time for major corporations and magazines.
Because ABC doesn't pay shit.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he's working for Architectural Digest, Harper's, IBM, MGM, Rolling Stone, Intel, Lucky Strike Cigarettes, Universal Studios, and Budweiser. All right. Man of many gifts and talents.
Yeah.
He's doing all kinds of art. He's making all kinds of design. So what happens is, in 1975, he hits the big time, okay?
Okay.
And by that I mean, he starts working for Playboy magazine. Somehow he meets Hugh Hefner.
Okay.
I need to also preface this, that there's so much underlying cocaine in this story.
Okay.
That, like, you can't place it, because no one's going to admit to it anywhere on the internet when everything's happening.
This is like a pro wrestling story where, like, and then they did steroids.
Yeah.
This is the late 70s, 80s.
Somehow he met Hugh Hefner and was like, you should totally let me design art for you.
Yeah, for Playboy.
Like, okay. So, anyway, in 1975, he starts producing art for Playboy. And the paintings, well, we'll get into the idea. The art gets published in every issue.
So real quick, just because we do have some listeners who are younger than us. Actually, most listeners are younger than us because we're old.
Wow.
People need to understand that with Playboy magazine, especially through about the 80s, from the 60s to the 80s, actually held a lot of cultural sway in America.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of big name writers would write articles for Playboy. A lot of art, very influential art, was made in there. And it was also because it paid pretty well to those. They paid those guys good.
Yep.
The women that were in the magazine did not get paid well.
What a shock.
People paid for the women. They're like, I'm going to buy Playboy for the women. And then also Playboy was like, we want to seem legitimate. So, like, let's have that guy who wrote the poem, How. I don't know who, name blanking on him. But, yeah, all these famous poets, you know, Kurt Vonnegut, all these different people would write for Playboy, and then all these artists would come in and do like amazing art.
Incredible art.
And it was very, very important to the culture at the time. And then just one day we were like, the internet's here.
We're not going to do that no more.
Yep.
We don't have to leave Playboy in the upstairs bathroom in a shoebox.
Yep.
Or wherever anybody's dad was hiding it.
except if you went to a truck, not truck stop, a garage.
What do you mean?
Like a mechanics?
Oh, they out and about.
No, it was either out and about, but mainly it was just in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
It did not matter because like women weren't supposed to use that bathroom.
Got it.
But then like eventually they were like, maybe we should have a place where women can use the bathroom.
Yeah. Women drive cars? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he starts producing art for specifically, there in the articles they were talking about, there's the Playboy Advisor, the Playboy Forum, Playboy After Hours columns. So he's making art for these very specific, topics, right?
Yeah.
And so in the early part of his time with Playboy, he would be given pretty specific instructions about the illustrations they wanted. So they'd be like, oh, this is going to be a story about, you know, a woman having an illicit affair and this is from the boss's viewpoint or something like that. Like, so then he would make the art that kind of represented what the story was about. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay. At the very top, that's what the image was before you start reading.
Yeah, so like you open it, you open the magazine, his art, and then the story starts, right? Yeah. Or the article. What happened was Playboy, the editors loved his artwork so much that they stopped really giving him direction, right? So he would just make stuff and send it.
They legit were like, let the man cook.
Yeah, they were like, let the man cook.
Yeah, let him cook.
Inevitably what would happen is he would just start making art. He would choose his own theme, whatever, and he would submit the work for approval. It would inevitably be approved and they would just cut him a check, right? He made over 285 pieces of art for Playboy.
Wow.
Yeah. So just over his career, just this is what he was doing. He would submit it. They'd approve it. He'd get a check.
And as a graphic designer, that equals like $17.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. By the way, just a real quick for anyone listening to this, this job will not exist in 2 years.
Yeah. AI is making
this is destroying
right now.
This. And in fact, the AI is trained on Patrick Nagel art. You can go to an AI generator and just type in Patrick Nagel, whatever.
Oh my God, should we do that? Patrick Nagel crane.
Oh.
No, don't do it.
I'm doing it.
No, we don't want AI art in our house.
I know. We're
okay,
not.
Okay, listen.
Okay.
We have to focus. All right. Remember you said. Okay. So the thing is, what we're talking about and what we're describing, this woman, this short hair, very white, very linear, bright lip woman with very small nose, is called a Nagel woman. This is what it's defined as.
Yeah.
It's a Nagel girl.
And real quick, when you say white, you mean literally paper white.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Again,
alabaster paper white.
I would highly recommend to the listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about by now, please Google image Nagel, N-A-G-E-L art, and you will instantly know. When you go into a nail salon, you go into a hair place, there is a faded poster of this in the corner if the place has been open for more than 10 years.
I have taken a quite a few pictures of a Nagel woman haircut. Yeah. Like, this is what I would like, please.
Yeah.
So
it's a very classic 80s, Adrienne Barbeau and all those other different people. Like, it's a very classic thing. All
right. Okay, so this is a defined art term at this point.
Yes.
Okay. His female figures tend to have black hair, bright white skin. Their silhouettes are usually against a neutral background, strong areas of black and white with bold lines, and he somehow forces perspective using color. So he's using the color to force the perspective. And this is me when I somehow got down the fully art hole and I started reading textbooks from art schools about Patrick Nagel.
Because
I was like, I want to understand this art. And what I really found interesting is, so we keep saying graphic design, right? Because we are of the computer age. Mm-hmm. This is not really graphic design. When I started watching YouTube videos and reading art school textbooks about Patrick Nagel, the way that he created this art is incredible. And it changed my entire perspective on it. No, please put it back on the screen for me. Yeah. So basically, it's like silk screening. Okay?
Okay.
And so what he would do is he would take a picture. So a lot of these women are real women. They're models and Playboy models.
Okay.
So or famous people. And so he would take a photograph of them and then he would lay out the photograph and kind of draw over it with sheer piece of paper. You know the word, like you're tracing it.
Yeah, trace
paper. So he'd be trace paper over to kind of get the outlined image of the person, of what he wanted. So the eyes, the nose, the lips, the hairline, things like that. What he really wanted the perspective to be. And then he would take what are the red sheets of plastic and cut out each line. So if it's the black of the hair, he's just carving out the black of the hair. And then he would get another piece of plastic and just carve out the lips. And then you get another piece of plastic and just carve out the collar of her shirt, right? And so he would do this for every single color and then silk screen them onto canvases or paper. So each color is laid down.
Oh.
Separately. So it's kind of the way they make like t-shirts sometimes, right? So
yeah.
They
press. Well, it's exactly like they make
exactly.
T-shirts.
Yeah, so it's like that. But he's doing that on canvas or on silk or on paper sometimes. So, and then he's using real paint. So these are, a lot of these are actual paintings.
Yeah.
And which I never put together as a child. Cause I was like, no, it's just a picture in
it's just a poster.
A poster.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. So there's one picture. I don't see it on your screen. If you could scroll down, but like, we might have to find it and post it on the Patreon where he goes, he has like, she's the back. It's a silhouette of the back of a woman and she has on a gold dress and, it's like got very, these gold lines on it. And in the gold, this one right here, that gold is actually like gold lamé. Like when you see the real piece of art, it's so incredible. So like, all of this is actually gold lamé when the original artwork. It's not just yellow.
Okay.
So like there's a perspective that I know I was missing in my youth of like just thinking because this
you're
is watching, a poster.
You're looking at a reprint of a reprint of a reprint.
Exactly. Yeah. And these are like really beautifully made artistic pieces.
I didn't realize. I didn't realize it was a screen printing.
Yeah.
And also the way you're describing it to me about how he's cutting, I thought they were drawings. The fact that it's a picture and then he's actually only taking what he wants. Mm-hmm. So here's a similar one over here.
Yeah.
That he's only keeping what he wants, which explains like the changes to the nose especially.
Yeah.
So the nose and the jawline and these different things that he's having pop on these, that makes a big deal. Okay. That's awesome. That's really cool.
So I just found that like really cool. And so art historians, when I was going through like what the different professionals in the art world believe, is they speculate that his art is heavily influenced by Japanese style art. So that wood blocking art, where the same idea of like we're putting these colors down, we're creating dimension.
Yeah. Like the Great Wave is a famous wood block, ink blot, and that type of things. And if you look at those type of, especially 1800s Japanese art.
Mm-hmm. So they believe that there's a big influence of that. There's also a huge Art Deco influence. So
yeah,
when
look
at this,
right,
it's incredibly Art Deco forward. But some
also a lot of cocaine influence.
Yeah, again,
you
underlying
have to do
cocaine.
You have to do so much to come up with this.
I don't know if that's true. It's so allegedly. We don't.
Oh
have
yeah,
any
you're
proof.
Right. I forgot I had this button this whole time.
We don't have any proof of that.
Every time I've said cocaine, just allegedly. I just want to be wait, no, actually, sorry, I should have said this. Every time I said cocaine.
No, you're using the wrong button.
Oh, sorry. Allegedly.
So then another couple art historians believe that maybe his map making experience in Vietnam really steered him into high contrast imagery more than anything else. I'm not kidding.
His map making?
Yeah, because he was in the 101st Airborne. Like he was making maps and like doing very specific work. And when they were interviewing him.
So he was in recon and he's just like, I'm going to get out of here.
I'm just going to draw naked ladies.
I'm going to print so many naked women on silk screen. They're like at a t-shirt shop. No, it's so much better.
But all of this is just speculation. No one knows.
Nobody knows?
He's never elaborated on where this idea come from, where this inspiration comes from.
Is he like H.R. Giger? He's like just an enigma wrapped in a...
He never talked about it. He did go to art school. I just kind of skipped over it. But he graduated with a degree in fine arts. But he never really went into the hows and the whys of it.
He was in the 101st Airborne.
Yeah.
Making maps.
Making maps.
All right.
Okay, so let's get to 1982. This is going to be a big fucking year. So he's already hitting it big with Playboy. These pictures are making him a household name across the United States, right?
Okay.
Or like not a name, but people know this art.
Yeah. Right? People know this imagery.
This imagery they know. They don't know the name probably.
Yeah, this is starting to be in more and more places by 1982. Yeah.
So in 1982, he paints an image that he believes he's trying to resemble a 1950s cigar package, like a cigar box.
Okay.
And that image is used for the cover of the number one album, Duran Duran Rio.
Oh.
And so the cover of Duran Duran's album Rio is a Patrick Daigle original.
Yeah, it's right here. I pulled it up in the images. Yeah.
And so this is him shooting off the map. Right.
And this is the album of the 80s.
Yeah.
This is the song of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
This is the image of the 80s.
Absolutely.
Right here. It's all wrapped up into one. Like this, he's like nailed it.
Yeah.
Done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so then...
I don't think we have this for the 2020s yet.
I don't think so either. And this is something that was driving me crazy. Is yeah. like, this art was such a force. This art represented so much of the 80s. It reflected back the way people were dressing, but it also pushed an idea of what it was. So, like, while he's making this idea of, like, oh, this is what women look like, women started to look like this because they were, like, going in the hair salons or seeing that the magazines had these images. So they started to get their hair cut or dress in more angular fashion. So, like, it's just so interesting. Yeah. But, like, now... we just have influencers who are like, oh, it's a vanilla latte makeup and...
No, it's mob wife aesthetic.
Yeah, like it doesn't... It's yeah, not the same.
But it's also flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Everything's so flash in the pan versus like I feel like this... Like this had years.
Yeah.
This had a couple years decade. Under it. Well, I mean, it's an entire decade. By the end of the 80s, it feels like it falls off somewhat.
That's what I mean. A decade.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
the beginning of 1975 until...
Well, I'm saying from Rio. I'm saying from 1982.
Okay.
If you go from 1982 to probably like 88.
I'm giving him all the credit for Playboy.
You go for Playboy.
I'm giving him all
okay,
the
no,
credit.
Okay, no, I get that. I get that.
I'm giving him
more. I think of this as being the real kickoff. Because
yeah.
this is when like the kids would see it. You yeah. know, like the Playboy ones, like, listen, the kids who lived in the suburbs, who went into the woods, who knew where the one tree was where the Playboys were.
What?
It's a whole suburban thing.
What?
It doesn't, it's a lost art of how to find porn in the woods.
You had porn trees?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't stress how in the 90s, there were porn trees all throughout the suburbs.
What in the hell is happening?
What are you talking
just,
about?
There's just like criminals loose in the woods.
They weren't criminals.
There's
they
porn
were just
in
men.
The woods.
They were just.
Bam Margera is still out there. What is happening out here?
In the 80s and 90s, sometimes men didn't have places where they could be alone. So they went into the woods with porno.
Oh, my God.
And they hid it in a tree.
I don't believe
it. And then other men would find it, and you'd just go and you just read it. You weren't going. You weren't being gross
is
with
this
it.
Is this socialism?
This was in back in the day. This is what Reagan fought against. This is, again, much like trunk or treat. This is the destruction of community.
There it is. That's,
okay.
Yep. I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah. So with that,
uh-huh.
let's take a pause.
Okay.
We're going to open a new tab.
Okay.
Because I feel like we've hit a pretty major moment in this man's life. It's
yeah.
1982.
Yeah.
He is the cover of Duran Duran's Rio. The world has changed.
Yeah.
So with that, when we come back, you'll tell us a little bit more about the life and times of Patrick Nagel and his deep, deep love of...
Allegedly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We're back.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, you ready?
Okay, listen.
Okay.
It's still 1982.
It's still 1982.
We haven't gone anywhere.
Why no? The album just came out.
Because Rio came out.
Yeah.
Boom. Nagel art everywhere.
Yeah.
Then he did a portrait of Joan Collins.
Okay.
Who had just recently premiered as Alex Carrington on Dynasty. And so this is like, again, there is nothing more 80s at this point.
Dynasty was a soap opera.
Yeah.
It's a massive soap opera.
Incredible. They tried to remake it. Wasn't as good.
Yeah. It was a primetime one, right? Mm-hmm. Primetime soap opera. It was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
If you go watch anything from the 80s, there's always references to Dynasty.
Yep.
Everywhere throughout it. Especially if you go back and watch like old Johnny Carson clips mm-hmm. and things like that, like late night talk shows. They're always talking about Dynasty. Like Dynasty yeah. was a force.
Absolutely. And Joan Collins... her character, Alexis Carrington, comes in the second season. Mm. And it's like this, her entrance into the show is iconic.
Yeah.
So he had painted her portrait in his style. And it was released in 1982. And it was incredibly popular as well. Allow me to show you an image yeah. of it.
Oh.
It's a pretty famous, if you see this one, you'd probably recognize it as one of his classics.
I don't recognize that one as much as no. the Rio one and some of the other images that you showed yeah. me. But this one, just like the Rio one, also has the very long earrings.
Yep. He loves a long earring.
Yeah.
Which I love. Okay, so 1982, we get Joan Collins, we get Duran Duran. We're still in 1982 here. Okay, next.
The greatest year of this man's
life. This man killed it in 1982. We weren't even born yet.
Yeah.
So in 1982, he has another friend. Again, I'm just speculating on how he could have met this person, but he becomes good friends with magician David Copperfield.
What? Yo. David fucking Copperfield
David
appeals?
Copperfield, yeah. So David Copperfield's planning his fourth national TV special.
Yeah.
And he reaches out to his dear friend, Patrick Nagel.
Yeah.
And they...
David Copperfield has Nagel hair.
Yeah.
He has that sweeping mullet.
Yep.
Yeah, they just have that feel. Okay, yeah, I'm ready. Let's
they
in.
They plan, and Patrick Nagel designs all of the imagery for his special. And on this special... this is the one where David Copperfield makes his own private jet disappear, which is so 80s because now we're like, oh, you have a private jet, you carbon footprint. But back then they were just like, yo, look at my private jet, bitches.
Yeah. Yeah. People are like, you get to fly alone.
What's that like?
Oh, my God.
So I have a picture
of
the
show. They never
turn
the smoking sign off?
This is the picture that they used as the promo.
Oh, wow.
If you zoom into the back of the plane.
Oh, yeah. That's David Copperfield's face as
a Nagel.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, Patrick Nagel made a huge piece of art of David Copperfield in the Nagel style, which was then printed on the side of his private jet.
And these specials were huge. Do you remember watching when he made the Statue of Liberty disappear?
Yes.
I remember as a kid being like, well, put it back.
Yeah,
like,
I remember
being so mad. I'm like, we pay taxes for that. Like, I was so mad at David Copperfield. I was convinced as a very young child, like maybe I think a six-year-old, that David Copperfield was a supervillain.
Yeah.
I was like, this is all an act by an evil man who is robbing us blind.
Yeah.
And we're paying him through advertising dollars.
Yeah. And so all adverts were done with Nagel
that
style.
That triangle
always
around
in a triangle.
It.
Yeah, you like the person was in a triangle.
Yeah, it adds depth in this really weird way.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
So there were also magician assistants, aka dancers.
Yeah.
And the dancers were all dressed, and their hair was done, and their makeup was done in the Nagel style as well.
Okay.
Okay. So again, this is 1982. We got Joan Collins. We got Duran Duran. We got David Copperfield. This is the most 80s thing that's ever happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
So in February of 1984, 2 years later, Patrick Nagel was participating in a 15-minute celebrity aerobathon to raise funds for the American Heart Association in Santa Monica.
The American Heart Association.
Yeah. So it was a fundraiser for the American Heart Association. Celebrities were doing aerobics.
So it's 1984.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to do some cocaine.
No, aerobics.
We're going to do some aerobics. Allegedly. I'm guessing they're all going to be in the leotards and everything.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you think they're going to have the step boxes?
Yes.
The step boxes are always the thing.
Absolutely.
You got to have that. You're going to have the leggings.
Leg warmers,
mm-hmm. leotards.
Absolutely.
You got to have the headbands.
Jane Fonda
you're
is
getting it all.
Vibing.
You're going to be out there. You're going to be sweating.
Mm-hmm.
That John Travolta movie with, what's her name, always gets me on that one.
Yeah.
Who's the one I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
You know the one she was in? I can feel listeners screaming it.
Yeah, it's
at
fine.
Me.
So anyway, listen, he does this. They raise the money. Patrick Nagel is found dead in his car in the parking lot after the event.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What happened? So he did 15 minutes of aerobics and he died?
In his car at the event. He died in the parking lot of the Santa Monica Wellness Center.
How old was he?
He was like 40 something.
Wait, you said he was born in what, 55?
Hold on. I have to scroll back up now. What? He was born in 1945, yeah.
1945. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's 40.
Yeah. He's our age.
A 40-year-old man who had a heart attack and died after 15 minutes of aerobics?
Yeah.
I don't need to hit that allegedly button anymore, babe.
So
that man was made of cocaine, okay?
Oh, allegedly.
No.
No,
absolutely not.
The next sentence says, an autopsy determined his death was caused by a heart attack. But further autopsy revealed that Nagel had a congenital heart defect that was undetected his whole entire life. So it was just the defect, okay?
Allegedly.
All right. So listen.
It's 1984. He is the Playboy graphic designer who did the cover of Rio. He's hanging out with David Copperfield on a private jet. Making the Statue of Liberty disappear?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, oh, maybe not. Okay, he didn't make it Saturday. That was later. But he's making private jets. What do you think they used private jets for in the 80s?
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what happened at this moment. I want to be very honest with you.
Okay.
Is I fell into what I'm going to call a too many tabs lore hole, in which I was trying to find more information about the celebrities. I wanted to know about who else was at this fucking event.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was like, well, who were the other celebrities that were there? Because that's insane.
Yeah, because I couldn't picture if we were at a charity event today and they're like, and who do we have here? They're like, oh, there's Shaq. There's The Rock. And who else? The lady who does Lisa Frank stickers. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like, that would
fine.
Catch me off guard.
So as I was trying to figure out who the other celebrities were, there were, I could only find a couple, and they weren't really popular people that like we would know today in any capacity.
Yeah.
However, there was this one celebrity and his name was Dennis Cole.
Dennis Cole.
His face looked like recognizable, but I didn't remember anything he did. But when I was on his wiki page, I was looking at like his basic wiki page and it was like, wife, this, and then it said son. And his son was listed as, and I swear, it just says, murder of Joe Cole. It doesn't say Joe Cole. It says murder of Joe Cole. And I was like, it's weird that his name is murder of Joe Cole. Let me click on that. And you can see this is how things happen on too many tabs where you get lost. So I'm like, murder of Joe Cole? Why is that someone's name? So then it turns out Joe Cole is this guy's son. And he was a roadie for Black Flag, right?
The band.
Okay. And the Henry Rollins band and Hole.
Courtney Love's Hole?
Yeah.
Kurt Cobain's wife's band.
Yeah. He was Hole. A roadie for all three bands.
Okay.
And so Joe Cole, apparently, was best friends since childhood with Henry Rollins.
All right.
Yeah. So the
actor Henry Rollins.
Yeah. The rock
also,
and roll
yeah,
star.
No, he's
yeah.
also does. I feel like more people know Henry Rollins from bit parts he's played in movies.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I knew of him that way before I knew of him as like, I knew he was a musician, but like I didn't listen to Black Flag that much until later.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think.
So.
All right. Go ahead.
So apparently Joe Cole and his best friend Henry Rollins were leaving a whole concert that was at Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A. And they were held up by robbers outside of the place they were living. And they get held up at gunpoint. And the robbers are mad that they only have like between them like $50 in cash.
Okay.
So they're like, go inside. Go get more money. Blah, blah, blah. We
go
know
to
you
the
got
ATM.
More. No, they're like, go in the house. We know you have more money.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So they start pushing them in the house, and Henry Rollins goes in the house. And when he gets inside, one of the robbers shoots his friend Joe in the face. And then they run away, and Henry Rollins runs out the back door and goes and calls the police and, like, goes and gets help, right? And so this is, like, a crazy story.
I've never heard this.
Yeah, and the one thing I thought was really, like, as I'm, like, reading into it, Henry Rollins, after it happened, went back to the crime scene. Again, punk rock as fuck. Some would say broke the law. He got on his hands and knees and started digging the dirt where his friend died so he could get the dirt where his blood fell and then put the dirt in a jar, and to this day has that dirt in a jar on his mantle in his house, and like openly says that he says good morning to his best friend every day and is with him.
Did they ever catch the guys?
No, they never catched it. Unsolved.
Jesus.
Yeah. right? So listen, we have to go back to the original story.
We had to go back?
Yeah, because this is just a weird little hole I fell down.
Okay. All right. So close that tab.
The tab is closed. We got to close it.
Okay.
Okay, we got to go back. So our main character, Patrick Neal, has passed away in his car.
Yeah.
Of congenital heart failure. Okay. He was survived by his wife, Jennifer Dumas.
Okay.
We didn't really get into the relationship.
Jennifer Dumas is a very 80s name.
Yeah. So that's Jennifer Dumas.
That's very Dynasty. Like, that's so crazy.
So after he passes away, again, this is such like a short little, like a firework of a life.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, he just like went so big and so hard. And then.
Yeah.
And I think this is why there aren't texts that have his inspiration, because he didn't live long enough to
say all
be
that.
Interviewed about his art. Yeah.
He also died before credit reports.
Lucky son of a bitch.
Credit reports are 1987. He was like, listen, I was just, he came home to his wife. He's like, listen here, wife Dumas. I just want you to let you know that they got computers coming for us.
We got to get out of here.
They're going to be tracking everything we do.
Oh my God.
I'm going to go do a quick workout. we're going to run for the hills.
Heart health. Okay. So what I did after this is I kind of just started looking into like his influence, because every time I'm looking at his work, it always is referential to things that happen later.
Yeah.
And so 2 years after he dies in 1986, Robert Palmer releases two huge music videos, Addicted to Love and Simply Irresistible.
Oh, yeah.
The music videos.
Gonna have to face it. You're addicted to love. Bam,
bam. Yeah. And so if you can picture those music videos.
Yes.
There's always about 15 striking women in the background just kind of lolling back and forth.
And a lot of makeup in high cheekbones. Yeah. Very accentuated, which is another thing he liked to draw the high cheekbone on.
Yes.
So I have a Robert Palmer story.
Okay, wait, what?
So I used to go to this bar in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of the bar used to be a record promoter. He started in the 70s through the 80s and the 90s. And during the 80s, Robert Palmer, because I don't think Robert Palmer's from America, but he was here.
Yeah.
And he was like stateside.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on this world tour, and he's supposed to do press in the morning, and he's supposed to go to all these radio stations, and they can't find Robert Palmer.
He's lost.
He's vanished. And so this guy, I'm not going to say the guy's name, just know the bar owner,
mm-hmm.
who was a record promoter, he is running around looking for him. And finally, he goes to a roadie. He's like, where could he be?
Yeah.
And the roadie looks at me and goes, have you checked the fucking strip clubs? And it is 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yep.
He goes from strip club to strip club. And finally, the last dirtiest strip club, like by the airport.
Perfect.
On that road
in
that no one wants to go anywhere.
Day.
2:00 in the afternoon.
Yep.
He opens the door, and he said when he opened the door, it was like a sunbeam cutting through the darkness.
Yeah.
And in the corner was Robert Palmer,
mm-hmm.
about 6 strippers,
yep.
and a mountain of just right in front of him. And he's like, you gotta go on the radio. And he went, fuck the radio. And so he had to call in guys to carry Robert Palmer out to his hotel room.
Yeah.
To get him clean enough for a concert that night.
Perfect. So
yeah.
I feel like he really embodies the spirit of the 80s.
He really does.
So yeah, those music videos.
He wasn't addicted to love.
Were Robert Palmer doing the Nagel woman as imagery, right?
Yeah.
And it actually was so popular. Those music videos were so popular that Pepsi reached out to Robert Palmer. And there are Pepsi ads that were on TV where Robert Palmer is singing Addicted to Love with the Nagel women dancing in the background.
Yeah.
And it's a Pepsi ad.
Wow.
Which makes your story even funnier.
Yeah. Because
he really liked their competitor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, Coke is for me. Pepsi? Fine. Whatever. Using that Pepsi money to buy Coke is a baller move. Gonna have to face it, you're addicted to Pepsi.
Let me just see, what else did I write? Well, so then I was like, I fell down the Robert Palmer hole, and I realized that there's this music video in 2014, and we were listening to it last night.
Yeah.
From Ingrid Michaelson, called Girls Chase Boys.
Yeah.
Where she did an entire cut for cut music video of Addicted to Love, but for her song. So it's men with the striking makeup of a Nagel woman. And so it's just, but it brought me joy.
But to be clear, Shania Twain did that. She did that gender flip first.
Yeah.
What feels like a woman.
Yeah.
Where the guys, because she's dressed up in like kind of a suit thing. Yeah. And then the guys are like shirtless and hot behind her.
Yeah.
It's really...
I think that Ingrid went harder on this aesthetic. Like, the boys have the white powder face. Like, it's
she's aiming for the Nagel part.
Yeah.
Versus Shania Twain was for the gender flip.
I think Shania was aiming for Robert Palmer. Ingrid was aiming for Patrick Nagel.
Okay.
If that's the way it looked to me when I was looking at the both.
Okay.
So anyway, those are just like me falling down little side tabs. Okay, so I wanted to, before we're almost done, but in 1993, I found this out. This is very interesting to me. His widow, Jennifer Dumas, right? After he passes away, she gets his entire estate. They're married. She opens a company so that she can start managing his art and portfolio. This is something I didn't even remember to talk about, but like we're talking about the posters earlier.
Yeah.
His original management team in the 80s, again, lacking moderation, okay, because it's the 80s, there is no moderation, they started making prints of everything and flooding the market, which is why when you picture this art, it's posters. It's hanging in a nail salon. It's hanging in an old hair salon that hasn't been updated. It's in your mom's basement, right? Like,
yeah.
It was sold to the masses as posters and like small prints, and so it was easily accessible to everyone, and therefore as art lost value.
Gosh,
because right? That's what happens with art.
It's true pop art.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that all was happening in that window of 1982 to 84, where it's just like it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's not special, which is why. I think for me, as someone who grew up with that being around me, I didn't realize it was so beautiful in person. So like when I started looking at images of it live, I was like, wait, what? This is gorgeous.
It's also one of those things too. Again, it's faded posters because posters don't hold up over a long period of time unless you have them in a special frame. You don't have direct light on them. There is something about, because the colors he chose, as we start looking through the Google images, there are some pastels, but he also uses a lot of like striking colors that became faded that look more like pastels.
Yeah.
The black hair isn't black after being in a storefront window for 15 years.
Yeah. At a
dry cleaner. Kind of a gray. Yeah. The background isn't blue. It's kind of a light, thing. The tan, like all these different colors fade so hard.
Yeah.
That they also just kind of fade into the background of our lives at the same time. It's kind of the same way where right now when I'm scrolling through like TikTok or Instagram Reels, I have a lot of the people who go to abandoned malls.
Yeah.
And when they go to the malls that haven't, or at least a wing of a mall that hasn't been updated since like the 80s, my nostalgia like pops.
Out of the root.
Because I'm like, no one will ever make something like this again.
It was so fun.
It was so weird.
Our chairs were hamburgers.
Yeah, it was just...
We were so good.
It's just like there's so many things like that. And then instead I'm like, when I look at like the modern Chipotle, like every Chipotle and Starbucks is the same because the idea being eventually this won't be a Chipotle and a Starbucks.
Yeah.
We're literally putting this business here to pay the property taxes because eventually we're going to cash out on selling this property.
Yeah.
To whoever. Ugh. And it's just like that part of thing. There's one lady who says it all the time. She's like, stuff doesn't serve cunt anymore.
Yeah.
Is the best way to put it.
And Patrick Nagel served cunt hard.
Just hard.
Yeah.
Just
so anyway,
hard.
The reason I was bringing up the art being so...
That should be the pool quote, by the way.
No.
If anyone makes clips of this show, Patrick Nagel served cunt.
So... Here's what happens. In 1993, his widow, Jennifer Dumas, is managing the artwork, right? She's managing the estate. And she decides she's going to sue Playboy Enterprises.
Oh.
For copyright infringement.
She's going to sue Playboy for copyright.
She sues Playboy in 1993. She does.
Okay.
And they go back and forth. It's very litigious. Playboy is absolutely like... They got money and they got lawyers and they're not to be fucked with, obviously. Yeah. They've used their money.
What was the reason, though? He was paid for all of the art.
So here's the thing. And this is, again, this is a whole other tab. This was an entire day lost to me, because when it comes to reading court documents, I can get really,
yeah.
Goodbye, I'm gone. So basically, she's saying that the art is owned by her.
Okay.
All of it. It's all of her art. He produced it and sold it to them to use in a magazine, but inherently it's their art. It's Patrick's art. It's not Playboy's art.
Okay.
And Playboy's saying, no, we paid for it. It's ours. I bought it. It's mine.
So it's a licensing issue.
It's a licensing and a copyright issue.
So
yeah.
Playboy's claim is they can use the art forever in reprints.
Yep.
So if they're making a special combined books, all those different things, they can put his art wherever. She's saying every time you want to do that, you need to fucking pay me.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if they want to put together a book of all 285 Playboy Nagels and like sell it as a coffee table book.
Yeah.
She's saying, if you do that, you have to pay our estate.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, we don't. We own this.
Right? Yeah, and so this is actually a big contention that happens in the comic book world and also the music and the video game world.
Yeah.
And this is actually one of the big arguments that has happened pretty recently with the artist and the writer strike.
Yeah.
When it comes to streaming versus television rights versus all these different things. Like, this is a pretty major thing. And depending on how they wrote the contract back in the day.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Because of the business practices, allegedly, it feels like a lot of things weren't really done above the books, right?
Yeah.
So like basically the only evidence they had of a lot of a contract, if you will, was just the checks themselves.
So it went like this. So it's like, sign this line, okay, do this line. Sign this line? Okay.
Oh, no.
Do this line.
Oh, no.
Draw that line.
Okay.
Do this line.
This is opinion. This is just for fun.
Legend.
Goofs and gaffs, as they say.
Okay.
Okay. So basically all they had was the checks to go by. There was no like real signed contract. Like the paperwork was not good. So what ended up happening is that, remember how I said that in the early 70s, they would give him directives about what the stories were?
Yeah.
And they would say, okay, so the story's about this, or the article's about this. Can you please create art around that?
Yeah.
The judges, and it did get appealed, then go up at the circuit. So the second circuit judge also found this to be true, is that when Playboy asked for specifics, that is theirs. They own it.
That's
outright.
A commission.
That's a commission through the laws that when they said, we want something that looks like this to match this, and he did it, and he got a check that was signed, and it said on the date and time, and then the little thing, it said for this art. Bing, bang, boom. That's Playboy's forever to do with what they will.
Yep.
However, everything after 1975...
when they were just like, yo, dude, this rules.
Good, bro.
Let bro cook.
Let him cook.
They don't own the recipe.
They don't own any of that.
They don't own the recipe. If you let bro cook, you don't own the recipe.
Exactly. So they only, Playboy only owns the Patrick Nagel art from 1974 to 1975. 1 year of art. Because after that, they just let him go.
You know what this proves to me, though?
What?
This proves that we own the new art for Too Many Tabs. Because I went back and forth on that email chain for like weeks.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, no, I like that. Let's wash out the back a little bit. Let's change this. Can we make my hair a little bit more cartoony?
Yeah.
Bring my hand down a little bit.
Yep.
Okay, bring in Mrs. P's silhouette. People aren't going to notice it at first until we mention it. But when they notice it, they're going to be like, oh my God, that's her silhouette. It's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and
that email chain is our proof of ownership. So
yeah, I thought the lawsuit was really interesting as someone who, you know, reads legal documents all day. I was like, yo, that's really interesting the way that they argued it as well.
Yeah.
And that she won. Okay.
That's
she won.
So cool.
Most of it anyway.
Yeah, she won most of it. I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
That actually is one of the few times where you're like, okay, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
And then that's really it. Everything else I found was like,
there was a cartoon show. Wasn't
yeah, that was
there?
Gonna say there was the Rob Lowe cartoon show.
Yeah, because like as you were talking about it, I started to remember
it
like there was
called Moonbeam City.
Yeah,
it was on Comedy Central.
Yeah, I remember it like a little bit. I just remember thinking it kind of reminded me of Frisky Dingo.
I do not know what that
is. It was an Adult Swim show in the way the animation was designed, like how the movement of the characters went, because it was kind of flash animation. But I didn't really like it too much. It reminded me there was a moment there back when Comedy Central was still doing original programming where they were trying to copy the Adult Swim model, and they're like, we'll make adult cartoons and then people will watch Comedy Central more. And then one day they were like, we can just rerun The Office. Nobody actually watches cable.
Yeah.
And now nobody gets paid except for Jon Stewart. So,
well, here's one thing I'll tell you. when I did look up Moonbeam City, because again, I hadn't heard of it, but I knew when I was researching, it all came up about how they use the cartoons that they drew all are Patrick Nagel representations, right?
Yeah.
And it was produced by Rob Lowe. So I was like, that's weird. But the cast, the voiceovers, all stars.
Yeah.
All stars. Will Forte, Elizabeth Banks, Kate Mara, Adam West.
What'd I tell you?
Yeah.
I didn't even, listen, I guessed that Adam West was in the episode. That was a joke. Adam West?
Yeah.
I start this episode with a joke about Adam West, and we're ending. We're done.
It's over.
I think that show only ran like 8 episodes or something.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere. Great. But yeah, and then basically it was that, and then the closest thing that has to do with Robert Nagel right now would be that in 2020, Forever 21 bought rights to Nagel Images to create fashion with his thing. With his images all over it.
Yeah.
But I think because it released in 2020, it wasn't
nobody noticed.
A blip. We were really busy with other things.
Yeah. So yeah. I have a goal now.
What is it?
We should try at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe nobody, because people aren't noticing it. Like, we should look and see if we can get a Nagel.
Yeah.
An original.
Absolutely.
An OG.
Yeah.
Or I can go just take one off the wall of any hair salon.
No, we got to get a good one.
Yeah. No, there's something about the faded ones, though.
They're pretty cool. Like, we just go to a dry cleaner's.
Just go to a dry cleaner and be like, can I have that?
Yeah. And I'll give you $20.
Having worked at a dry cleaner, they're being paid like maybe $10 an hour, at best, in Pennsylvania especially, because our minimum wage is $7.25. Mm-hmm, so when they're like, we're paying you $10, you should feel lucky. And you're like, I can't live on this.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this was really great research.
Thank
Mrs.
you.
P, anything else?
No, that's everything I learned.
All right. So let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and hop over and welcome and thank our new Patreons.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Pearlmania, 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 Pearlmania.
500.net is how you can join our Patreon. Do you see how I used it? I figured out how I could keep that bumper. This is our old Hey Hun section. We're moving it to the end. We're going to welcome in all of our new team leads. We're going to be working on some new tiers in the near future, and we're going to be having some new things for all of our Patreons to be able to get once they join.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be hinting at more of that stuff in the near future.
Hinted.
But until then,
Hey Hun, let's meet our team leaders.
So we have 10. Let's go ahead and welcome them this week. Up first, the first thing I just want to say, they went even crazier with underscores.
It's like they got motivated.
It's only underscores.
You think you can underscore? I can underscore.
Out of the 10 new people, only 2 of them didn't use underscores.
Kevin. I can see him right from here.
Yeah. Big shout out to Kevin Atwell.
All right, Kevin.
And Chai Kibi.
Hey, Chai.
Those two did not use underscores.
They said nope.
The rest of you are monsters.
I stand on 12 toes.
Oh, my God. Here we go. All right. So, Chai Kibi and Kevin Atwell, thank you. And big. I'll bring that down. There we go. Up third, we have can't_get_a_d_h_d_meds_so_forgot_2_join_at_$3_tier.
Sorry, bro.
That doesn't make sense to anybody. So it's can't get ADHD meds, so forgot to join at $3 tier.
It makes sense because I have also forgot to do things I meant to do because I couldn't focus on what I was doing. Been there.
After that, we have Vlad _the_inhaler.
Let's go.
After that, we have the_grift_grift_got_me_also_fairy_porn_2.
Listen, we should bring it up. We're getting pretty close to you reading that fairy porn.
We're getting very close, yeah. And like incredibly close.
Yeah.
The 750 is the tier.
I'm so
is the
excited.
Goal. The book is under the glass.
Yep.
I have a hammer. I have many hammers.
Too many hammers.
Too many tabs. Yeah. So we're getting closer and closer. When we hit that 750 of active members all at the same time, I will read that book, and we will make a big announcement.
It'll be incredible.
And we have a book club coming up soon.
We do,
anyway,
yeah.
And we'll talk about that next episode. After that, we have _able_2_here_live_shoutout_i_caught_up!
Listen, that's impressive. We have a lot. Last season was pretty long to catch up.
It was 53 episodes plus book clubs.
Oh, my God. And I had a baby?
Yeah.
What were we thinking?
I don't know. The last year has been insane.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so thank you so much. And I know there's a lot of people who actually, when they hear about the podcast, they don't start here.
Yeah. No, they got to start in the beginning.
I know.
I do the same thing.
It's so wild. Because it's wild to me because the first like 6 episodes, the audio to me is terrible.
Yeah.
Because we had the snowball mic. We don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have the soundboard.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of these different things. We didn't have the cool arms I bought on Amazon.
Yeah.
Now we're even on a better computer.
Listen, we're upgrading this podcast every chance we get.
Yeah. Every single chance we can. After that, we have, let's still be doing these shout outs, _this_is_definitely__definitely_a_cult_
it's not a cult.
This is definitely not a cult.
I'm just saying that maybe we should do some things with the pyramid shaped monies.
All I'm saying is the feds are outside the door. And we need to keep them out with our spiritual enemy energy here,
and
brothers.
And
the best way.
We can't use fluoride in the toothpaste because it closes the glands.
The best way to keep the feds out of your pineal gland is to make sure that you buy our food bucket. If you buy the food bucket, you'll get 3 douches on the side. You got a douche to keep the feds out of your pineal gland. My parents are downstairs watching the baby right now.
I hope
they are
going
to be so confused.
I hope they heard that.
After that, we have 40_isn't_old_anymore.
I agree with you in my spirit 40. And my vibes. I agree.
But our bodies
hurt. My body hurts, dude.
I want to point something into perspective. In the early 2000s, you've been mentioning it a lot.
What?
There was an SNL character that was on the early, like the Will Ferrell era SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Shannon.
Oh, I'm 50.
Yeah, she come out and go, I'm 50.
I kick and I stretch
and I jump. And we would laugh as children.
Yeah.
We were 15. We're like, 50 people.
Look
50
at her,
year olds
she's
are
so
old. And now we're like 10 years from that. And I'm like, I should stretch. I should jump and kick.
We have to stretch. We need to get strong.
We joined a gym.
The child's going to be 10 when we're 50.
Know.
Oh my God.
We've been lifting this child. The child hit 14 pounds. And I was like, I'm going to die. All right. That was 40 isn't old anymore.
Hey,
hon. And you know what?
Let's go.
After that, we have is_this_where_i_change_my_username_...
It is, in fact, where you change your name.
It
and
is.
You did a good job.
You did a great job.
Hon.
You did a great job. And congratulations. And in fact, actually, no messages this week from anyone asking for manual changes. So that was very nice. And finally.
All right.
You know, we start out the show, every show, with a shout out. We're ending it, every show, with a shout out.
Yep.
Directly from this Patreon, this new team leader.
Yep.
_2_his_name_was_dusk_on_repeat.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go. Yeah.
We love it. We love supporting the arts.
We love supporting the arts. As you know, you heard the new theme from His Name Was Dusk. You've heard his music on our prior episodes. You can go down to the link at the bottom of the show notes. hisnamewasdusk.com, I believe it is. We're Pearlmania500.net for our Patreon, mm-hmm. or patreon.com/Pearlmania500. Please continue to support us in any way you can. If you don't have the money,
subscribe.
If you don't want to join the Patreon,
okay.
follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok.
Yeah.
Find all those different places where we are, or just
turn on the podcast listening. When your friends are in the car.
That's the one.
Turn the podcast on when your friends are in the car.
It's the spring.
Pick an episode.
It's spring's about to hit.
Pick an episode that you like the most.
You have a loved one. Don't you want to share things that you enjoy with your loved one?
Yeah.
While they're trapped in a vehicle and they can't get away?
And you can answer questions like, who is Hilaria Baldwin?
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to end the episode differently than we used to the old ones.
What's
the old
that?
Ones, sometimes I would play a theme on the way out the door.
Yeah.
This one, I think I'm gonna close.
Yeah.
With our intro music again, because I love this. This
yeah,
is an
it's
earworm.
So good.
If you're listening at 1.5, slow it down, because here we go. His name was Dusk. Play us out.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.